We present Ian Carmichael as Lord Peter Wimsey in Busman's Honeymoon by Dorothy L. Sayers, adapted for radio by Alistair Beaton, with Sarah Bedell as Lady Peter Wimsey, Peter Jones as Bunter, and special guest Peter Vaughan as Superintendent Kirk. Episode 5, Crossed in Love.
Each person has his own idea of what precisely constitutes a disaster. To most of those who had known the late William Noakes, his death was felt to represent something less than a disaster. This regrettable, if understandable, lack of grief had one unfortunate consequence. It widened the range of those who had a motive for his killing. Even his niece, Miss Twitterton, who appeared to experience some genuine grief, had more than one good reason for wishing the death of Noakes. One might have thought that Lord Peter and his wife would have viewed the idea of a murder victim in their honeymoon home as a disaster. Yet, the gloomy routine of the inquest and the unwelcome attentions of the press had done little to impair their newly found happiness together. While Bunter was preparing a meal in the kitchen and braving the attendant hazards of Mrs. Ruddle's long tongue and Frank Crutchley's ill manners, Peter and Harriet had taken themselves off for a drive through the countryside. They little knew that an event unfolding at that moment below stairs in their house was, to Bunter's mind at least, most decidedly a disaster.
Why, Mr. Bunter, whatever's the matter with you?
Mrs. Ruddle, am I to take it that it was you who interfered with the Coburn 96?
The what?
The port!
Oh, that! Yes, that's right. I washed all them dirty bottles for you. Filthy they were. Whitewash all over.
Oh!
I got them all out of their cases, washed them and set them all the right side up.
Hop it out of here before I take the skin off you.
Well, I'm
sure... Get out of here, Mrs. Ruddle.
Such manners.
Put your flat foot right in it, haven't you,
ma'am? Oh, I'll take no lip from you, Frank Crutchley. What are you doing in the kitchen anyhow? Romancing with Aggie Twitterton, eh?
How dare you?
Get out, Mrs. Ruddle.
Well, people can do their own dirty work after this, I'm sure.
All the pot. All the pot. 2.5 dozen all shook up to blazes. And his lordship bringing it down in the back of the car, driving as tender and careful as if it was a baby in arms.
Well, that's a miracle, judging by the way I saw him driving this afternoon. Then he blew me and the old taxi off the road.
Not a drop to drink for a fortnight, and him looking forward to his glass after dinner.
Well, he's unlucky, that's all.
There's a curse upon this house. And may I ask why you are loitering about in the kitchen, Crutchley?
Waiting for his lordship.
If you want to wait for his lordship, you can do so in the garage.
Yes, Frank. Lord Peter's sure to be upset if he finds you in here.
All right, all right. I knows when I's not wanted.
How dreadful for you, Mr. Bunter. I'm sure Mrs. Ruddle didn't mean any harm.
I am very much put about, Miss Twitterton. She has violently agitated every bottle of his lordship's vintage port, just as it was settling down after the journey.
Oh, how dreadful. Is it all spoiled? Oh. I believe they have some very good port wine at the Pig and Whistle, only it's rather expensive. 4 and 6 a bottle and nothing on the empties.
I fear that would scarcely meet the case.
Or if they should like some of my parsnip wine, I should be delighted to bring some over.
That's exceedingly kind, Miss Twitterton, but I don't think that will be necessary. Were you wishing to see his lordship?
Oh, I almost forgot. If it isn't troubling you too much, Mr. Bunter, would you be so kind as to tell Lady Peter that I've brought her a few eggs from my hens?
Certainly, Miss Twitterton.
The Buff Orpingtons, they lay such pretty brown eggs, don't they? And I thought perhaps...
Her ladyship will greatly appreciate the attention. Would you care to wait?
Oh, thank you. I hardly know...
I'm expecting them back very shortly.
Oh, well, yes, thank you. As long as I'm not in the way...
Well, here we are again, amidst the aspidistras and cacti and bamboo whatnots of the ancestral home.
Ooh, I can't wait to get our own furniture moved in.
Harriet, my dear, perhaps it's the country air or something, but I'm feeling slightly intoxicated. Almost like being in love, in fact. But I don't think you could be that, do you?
Oh, surely not.
Oh, I thought not, because after all, we're married, aren't we? I mean, one can't be married and in love. Not with the same person. It ain't done.
Absolutely not.
Pity. Because I'm feeling really rather youthful and foolish today. Tender and twining, like a very young pea. Positively romantic.
That, my lord, is disgraceful in a gentleman of your condition.
My mental condition is simply appalling. I want the violins to strike up in the orchestra and discourse soft music while the limelight merchant turns up the moon.
And the crooners are crooning in tune.
Damn it, why not? I will have my soft music. Unhand me, girl. Let's see what the BBC can do for us by way of Mr. Noakes's distinguished wireless cabinet.
Stand there a moment, Peter. No, don't turn round.
Why, has my unfortunate face begun to get on your nerves?
No, I was just admiring your spine, that's all. It has a kind of sort of springy line about it that pleases me. Completely enslaving.
Really? No. Well, I can't see it, but I must tell my tailor. He always gives me to understand that he invented my back for me.
And does he also imagine he invented your ears and the back of your skull and the bridge of your nose?
No flattery can be too gross for my miserable sex. I am purring like a coffee mill. What the devil did I come over here for?
Soft music.
Ah, so it was. Now, my little minstrels of Portland, please. Strike, you myrtle-crowned boys, ivied maidens, strike together.
Arr, and the bed should be carefully made up beforehand with good, well-rotted horse manure, or...
Oh, help!
That is quite enough of that.
Oh, the man has a dirty mind.
Disgusting. I shall write a stiff letter to Sir John Reith. Ain't it extraordinary that just when a fellow's bubbling over with the purest and most sacred emotions, when he's feeling like Galahad, Alexander and Clark Gable all rolled into one...
Excuse me, my lord.
Well, what is it, Bunter? You look exceedingly grave.
Miss Twitterton has been waiting to see her ladyship
and... Oh, poor Miss Twitterton. Send her in, Bunter.
Yes, my lady, and I regret that I have some rather disturbing news to impart to you, my lord.
Ah, I thought so. Well, out with it, Bunter.
The fact is, my lord, Mrs. Ruddle has moved the port.
Well, that is not so grave, Bunter. Fetch another bottle out of the pantry.
That's just it, my lord. She's moved all the bottles. Every blessed one of them.
What?
It won't be fit to drink for at least another 2 weeks.
Oh, dear, it's true, Lord Peter.
Miss Twitterton, I do...
Bunter, how could you let this happen?
Oh, my lady, I do hope Lord Peter isn't going to be violent.
Violent? Oh, I shouldn't think so.
I must point out to your lordship that it was not I who was...
Good God, man, you needn't tell me that. Of course you didn't. Go. Well, come along, Bunter. We had better go and view the bodies.
Very good, my lord.
Oh, dear. Lord Peter looked terribly upset when Mr. Bunter told him about the port.
I rather think he was upset. But really, that's no reason for you to...
I'm sorry. It's silly of me, but I'm always so terrified of gentlemen being angry and...
My dear Miss Twitterton, what is the matter? You're trembling all over. Surely you didn't really think Peter was going to throw things about or anything, did you? Oh, your hands are like ice. Come and sit down by the fire.
It's just... Well, they're all men, aren't they? And men are so horrible.
Dear Miss Twitterton, what is the trouble? Can I help? Has someone been horrible to you?
Oh, my lady, I'm ashamed to tell you. He said such dreadful things to me.
Who did?
Frank. Terrible things. I know I'm a little older than he is, and I suppose I've been very foolish, but he did say he was fond of me.
Frank Crutchley?
Yes. And it wasn't my fault about Uncle's money.
Oh, no.
We were going to be married, only we were waiting for the £40 and my own little savings that Uncle borrowed. And they're all gone now, and no money to come from Uncle, and now Frank says he hates the sight of me, and I do love him so.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
What you must think of me.
Oh, that doesn't matter the very least bit.
I must be going. I'm afraid I look a sight.
No, not a bit. Just a touch of powder is all you want. Where's my... here it is on the whatnot. That's Bunter. He always clears up after us. Now, hold still. Poor Bunter and the port. Must have been a blow to him. There. You look quite all right.
Oh, do I really?
Take a look in the mirror.
Oh, I've never had powder on before. It makes me feel quite fast.
Well, it's helpful sometimes. Now, promise me you won't make yourself miserable anymore.
No, I'll try not. You've been so kind. Now I must run.
Good night.
Good night. I hope I haven't kept you from your supper.
Not a bit. It isn't time for it yet. Good night, Miss Twitterton. Bunter will show you out. It's all right, Peter. She's gone.
We found some decanters.
Yes, I see you did. Is that the port after all?
No, claret. It's a youngish but pleasant Leoville with only a very light sediment. It seems to have travelled all right. It's quite clear. You know, I'm not the only sufferer. Bunter's nerves are very much affected. He feels the ruddle-muddle acutely coming on top of everything else. I enjoy a little bustle and movement myself, but Bunter has his standards. What did Miss Twitterton want?
She's very upset. Crutchley's been behaving like a perfect beast to her.
Has he, by Jove?
He's been making love to the poor little wretch. Peter, it isn't funny.
Yeah, I beg your pardon, my dear. You're quite right, it isn't. In fact, it's anything but funny. Is she fond of the blighter?
Oh, my dear, pathetically. And they were going to be married and start the new garage with the £40 and her little savings, only they're gone too. And now she finds she won't come into any money from her uncle. What are you looking at me like that for?
Harriet, I don't like this at all.
Well, of course, he's chucked her over now, the brute, from what I hear of the local gossip.
Mrs. Ruddle?
Yes, he's already got some young girl on the go, name of Polly Mason.
Yes, 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 but don't you see what you're telling me? Miss Twitterton would have given him the money, of course. Done anything in the world for him, what?
Oh, Peter. Oh, you can't mean that. It couldn't be the little Twitterton.
Why not?
But it's a motive. I see it's a motive, but you didn't want to hear about motive.
But you're cracking my eardrums with it. Motive won't make a case, but once you've got the how, the why drives it home.
Well, all right, then how? You made no case against her.
Well, there was no need. The how is child's play. She had the key of the house and no alibi after 7:30. Killing hens is no alibi for killing a man.
But to smash in a man's head with a blow like that... She's tiny, and Noakes was a big man. I couldn't break your head open like that, though I'm nearly as tall as you are.
You are about the one person who could. You are my wife. You could take me unawares, as a loving niece might her uncle. I can't see Noakes sitting down and letting Crutchley or Sellen go pussyfooting about behind him, but a woman one knows and trusts, that is different.
I suppose you've seen this all along.
I have. But I was irrational enough to tell myself that the motive was insufficient. I couldn't see the Twitterton woman doing murder for money to extend her hen runs. Well, it serves me right for being weak-minded. The moral is stick to how, and somebody will hand you the why on a silver salver.
Oh.
It's a whacking great motive, Harriet. A middle-aged woman's last bid for love, and the money to make the bid.
Well, it's all very well, Peter, but where's the proof?
Nowhere.
What did you say yourself? It's no good showing how it might have been done. Anybody might have done it. Sellen, Crutchley, Miss Twitterton, you, I, the vicar, or Superintendent Kirk. But you haven't proved how it was done.
Good God, don't I know it? We want proof, we want facts. How? I hate fooling about with maybe and might have been. And Kirk ain't likely to examine things too closely. He'll be so damn thankful to get a likelier suspect than Sellen that he'll hair off after the Crutchley-Twitterton motive. And then, as like as not, he'll fall down in court for lack of proof.
But, Peter, you're not going to tell Kirk about Crutchley and Miss Twitterton?
Well, he'll have to know, of course. It's a fact, as far as it goes. The point is, will he see...
Peter, no, you can't do that. That poor little woman and her pathetic love affair. Oh, you can't be so cruel as to tell the police. The police, good heavens!
Yes, I was afraid it might come to this. One cannot suppress evidence, Harriet.
But she told me in confidence. She was grateful to me. She trusted me. You can't take people's trust and make it into a rope for their necks. Peter, it's brutal.
Murder is brutal.
I know, but...
You've seen what murdered men look like? Well, I saw this old man's body. It's a pity the dead are so quiet. It makes us ready to forget them.
The dead are dead. We've got to be decent to the living.
I am thinking of the living. Till we get at the truth, every soul in this village is suspect. Do you want Sellen broken and hanged because we wouldn't speak? Must Crutchley be left under suspicion because the crime was never brought home to anybody else? Are they all to go about in fear, knowing there's an undiscovered murderer among us?
But there's no proof, no proof!
Look, it is evidence. We can't pick and choose. Whoever suffers, we must have the truth. Nothing else matters a damn.
But must it be your hands?
Yes, I have given you the right to ask me that. You married into trouble, Harriet, when you married my work and me. These hands, they are hangman's hands. But you knew that there, didn't you?
Yes, but I wasn't married to you then.
No. That makes the difference, doesn't it? Well, Harriet, we are married now. We are bound. I'm afraid the moment has come when something will have to give way. You or I. Or the bond.
Oh, no, no. Oh, my dear, what is happening to us? What has become of our peace?
Broken. That's what violence does. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. It catches us all sooner or later.
But it mustn't. Can't we escape?
Only by running away. Perhaps it would be better for us to run. I have no right to drag any woman into this mess, least of all my wife. Oh, forgive me. I've been my own master so long, I think I've forgotten the meaning of obligation. Oh, my dear, don't upset yourself like this. Say the word and we will go right away. We'll leave this miserable business and never meddle again.
Do you really mean that?
Of course I mean it. I've said it.
Peter, you're mad. Never dare to suggest such a thing. Whatever marriage is, it isn't that.
Isn't what, Harriet?
Letting your affection corrupt your judgment. What kind of a life could we have if I knew that you'd become less than yourself by marrying me? You must do what you think right. Promise me that. What I think doesn't matter. I swear it shall never make any difference.
Thank you, Harriet. That is love with honour.
And in any case, you were right and I was wrong. The thing has got to be done, by any means, so long as we get to the bottom of it. That's your job, and it's worth doing.
Always provided I can do it. I don't feel very brilliant at the moment.
You'll get there in the end. It's all right, Peter. It's all right.
I regret that dinner is a little late, my lord, but there is an individual in the hall.
Oh, send him away, Bunter. I can't stand any more individuals.
My lord...
We are about to have dinner, Bunter. Send him away. Tell him to call again later.
Very sorry to intrude.
I really must ask you to wait.
No wish to cause inconvenience. I am Moss and Isaacs.
You are wrong, Bunter. It's not an individual. It's a company.
Moss and Isaacs. And here in my hand, I have...
Bunter, take the company's hat.
Very sorry. No intention to offend. But I have here a bill of sale on the furniture in this house. And I have run all the...
I really cannot imagine...
You better answer it, Bunter.
Very good, my lord.
A bill of sale?
Yes, madam, for a debt of £73.16. And I have run all the way from the bus stop. All the way, because there is a
my
man...
Lord, Mr. McBride says he wishes to have
Mr.
a word...
Mr. Solomons, Mr. Solomons, that's not fair. Everything in this house is the property of my clients, and the executrix has agreed...
Good evening, Mr. McBride.
I can't help that. We hold a bill of sale on the furniture. Look at the date on this document.
Ours has been running 5 years.
I don't care if it's been running as long as Charlie's aunt.
Gentlemen, can not this matter be amicably arranged?
My lord, in the interests of our clients...
In the interests of our firm?
In all our interests. Will you not sit down and share our roast duck with applesauce and sage and onion stuffing? Don't break up the happy home. Over a slice of the breast and a glass of the best, any little differences may be adjusted.
Yes, indeed, do join us. Bunter will break his heart if the bird gets dried up in the oven.
It's very good of you, if the lady...
No, Solomons, it ain't fair.
Harriet, you know very well it's a husband's incurable habit to invite his business friends to dine under any circumstances and on the shortest possible notice. Without that habit, home life would not be what it is. Therefore, I make no apology.
Of course not. Bunter, these gentlemen will dine with us.
Very good, my lady.
So far as we are concerned, you may have the entire contents of the house tomorrow and welcome. Now, are we all quite ready for dinner? Mr. Solomons, sit here on my right.
Oh, thank you, my lord.
And Mr. McBride, on my left.
Right.
Bunter, the carrot.
Well, Peter, they weren't unreasonable in the end. But, oh, I do hope there won't be any more people tonight.
Numenos une vie assez mouvementée. I've never known such a day. Bunter looks quite haggard. As for me, well, I don't feel like the same person I was before breakfast.
I don't feel like the same person I was before dinner.
My lord, there is yet another visitor.
Oh, no.
Who is it now, Bunter?
Superintendent Kirk, my lord.
Oh. Oh, well, send him in.
If you'll come through, Superintendent.
Good evening, Mr. Kirk.
Good evening, my lady. I'm afraid I'm intruding. It's a bit late for a call, my lord, I know, but...
This is the foul fiend Flibbertigibbet. He begins at curfew and walks till the first cock.
Sit down, Superintendent, and don't mind my husband. He sometimes gets taken that way.
Sit down, sit down. I'll talk a word with this same learned Theban.
Got it, King Lear. Though their injunction be to bar my doors, and let this tyrannous knight take hold upon you, yet have I ventured to come seek you out.
Harriet, the superintendent, has caught the hang of our half-witted manner of conversation. He is a man, take him, for all in all, we shall not look upon his like again. I shall give him a drink, he deserves it. Say, when? Shall I make spirits fetch me what I please? Resolve me of all ambiguities?
Oh, thank you, not too stiff, my lord, if you don't mind. We'll have it gentle and the elements so mixed...
that a spoon might stand up in it.
No, that bit doesn't seem to finish up quite right. Here's health.
Bottoms up. And what have you been doing all day, Superintendent?
Well, my lord, I've been up to London.
To London?
But not to see the Queen. I went to see Frank Crutchley's young woman in Clerkenwell.
Has he got one there?
He had. I got the address from that chap Williams over at the garage where Crutchley works. She's a good-looking young woman with a bit of money. Lives with her dad and seemed dead struck on Frank Crutchley. But there, you know what girls are. Some other fella turned up and she married this other bloke 3 months back.
The devil she did.
But what got me all worked up was finding out what her father was.
It was a robber's daughter, and her name was Alice Brown. Her father was the terror of a small Italian town.
Not a bit of it. He's a... there. Of all the trades and professions open to a man, what would you say he was?
Well, from your air of having, so to speak, found the key that cuts the Gordian knot, I would say that...
I can't imagine. We give it up.
Well, if you give it up, then I'll tell you. Her father is an ironmonger and locksmith as cuts keys when wanted.
Good God. You don't say so.
And what's more, none so long ago, 6 months more or less, young Crutchley comes along, bright as you please, and asks him to cut a key for him.
6 months ago? Well, well, well.
The old boy didn't make no secret of the key. And what's more, he took me round to his workshop. He's a methodical old bird, and when he makes a new key, keeps a cast of it. Well, he showed me the cast, and what do you think that key was like?
You can't mean it was the key to one of the doors in this house.
Aha! I knew I should catch you there. No, was not. And nothing like neither. Now, what do you think of that?
How astonishing.
A huge great thing it was. More like a church key.
Was it made from a key or from a wax mould?
From a key. He brought it along with him. Said it was the key of a barn he'd hired to keep some stuff in. Said the key belonged to the owner and he wanted another for himself.
I should have thought it was the owner's business to supply a key for the tenant.
So should I, so away I come by the evening train, no wiser. But after I'd had me a bit of supper back home, I says to myself, it's a line. Never leave a line, I says, till you've followed it up. So out I goes to Pagford to look for our young friend. Well, he wasn't in the garage, but Williams said he'd seen him go out on his bike along the road to Ambledon Overbrook.
We came through it this afternoon. Hmm. Pretty little church with a brooch spire.
Well, I pushed along in that direction and... do you remember seeing a big old barn with a tiled roof about 3/4 of a mile out of Pagford?
Yes, I noticed it. It stands all by itself in a field.
That's right. Well, going past there, I see a light, as it might be a bicycle lamp, going across that field. And it came to me all of a sudden that about 6 months ago, Crutchley did a bit of work on a tractor for Mr. Moffat, as owns that barn. See? I just put them things together in my mind. I gets out of the car, and I follows the bicycle light across the field. And what do you think was inside that barn?
At a guess, I should say Polymason.
Well, there, just as I was all set to catch you again. Polymason it was. I says, what's all this? And Crutchley says, no business of yours, you stupid cop. She's over the age of consent. Maybe, I said, but she's got a mother, I said, what's brought her up decent. And the end of it was, I brought her back, and a lot of sauce she gave me, the young piece.
It's an odd thing that men like Crutchley, with quantities of large white teeth, are practically always gay Lotharios.
Not frivolously gay, either. Two strings to the bow, one for use and one for pleasure.
Well, it ain't my business to run a Sunday school, but that Polly Mason's asking for trouble. I didn't say anything about the young lady in London, because that's over and done with, but where there's one, there might be two.
There were two, and the other one was here in Pagford.
Eh?
Miss Twitterton.
What?
It's true, Inspector. She confessed all to my wife earlier this evening. She and Crutchley were planning to get married. But now he's thrown her over.
Well, I bothered poor old Aggie Twitterton chasing Frank Crutchley. Half a moment, half a moment. That's all right, but see here. If Aggie Twitterton wanted the money for Frank Crutchley and had the keys to the house, what was to prevent her? Eh?
Nothing whatever. Only you've got to prove it, you know.
I've had my eye on Aggie Twitterton all along, her knowing about the will and all. And come to look at it, whoever did it had to get into that house now, hadn't they?
Why? How do you know Noakes didn't come out and get bashed on the head in the garden?
No, that's one thing he couldn't, and you know that as well as I do. And for why? There wasn't no earth or gravel on his shoes, nor yet on his coat where he fell on it. And this time of year, and with all the rain we had last week, there would have been. No, my lord, springs to catch woodcocks. You don't catch me that way.
Hamlet.
Don't you mistake me, my lord. I ain't out to put nothing on Aggie Twitterton. I'm out to find who killed the deceased and prove it. And I will prove it, if it's the last thing I do.
In that episode of Busman's Honeymoon, the cast was as follows. Lord Peter Wimsey, Ian Carmichael. Lady Peter Wimsey, Sarah Bedell. Bunter, Peter Jones. Superintendent Kirk, Peter Vaughan. Mrs. Ruddle, Pearl Hackney. Miss Twitterton, Rosemary Leach. Frank Crutchley, Kenneth Cranham. McBride, Roger Lloyd Pack. Mr. Solomons, Bernard Spear. Voice on wireless, Michael Bilton. Narrator, John Westbrook. Busman's Honeymoon was adapted by Alistair Beaton from the book by Dorothy L. Sayers and was produced by Martin Fisher.